Hey y'all, I'm Sam Sebrin, and this is the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour. Recently, I've been in all sorts of tech equipment hell of things not working, and everything I was planning for this episode just broke or crashed, or I don't know, it just wasn't meant to be. So I was looking around my room and I realized I have tons of writings over the years, including lots of actual dreams I've written down. And so, sort of last minute here, I'm just gonna read some of my dreams. Just me talking, no extra effects or anything. Just good old simple spoken word for this show. So, here goes. I hope you enjoy it. I'm calling this edition of Nothing Is Real Radio Hour in My Dreams. I dreamed I was in a futuristic high-rise building on a bed, looking out of a big glass window onto a Blade Runner type cityscape. But I was also outside of the dream, observing the person on the bed looking out the window. I was asleep on the bed and also watching myself asleep on the bed. I woke up to see the bottom of a huge sci-fi-like, helicopter-like craft filling up the entire window frame. And when I sat up in the bed to see what the hell it was, it zoomed away. Then, in the distance, in the sky, was some other strange flying craft, more like a plane that could hover, and it was looking at me. I realized these vehicles were observing me and probably photographing me or photographing the character in the dream. Then I looked inside. There was a lot of glass doors and a long hallway. In the distance, through many reflections down the hallway, I could see a man with a gun with a scope aimed at me. I realized I was in some sort of hospital and the government was trying to kill me. The planes had located and identified me so that the shooter could kill me. I saw him just as he pulled the trigger, and I ducked and dodged the bullet. He realized I was onto him, and he began to run. I began to chase after him. I didn't know what else to do. There were patients in bedclothes scattered in the hallways. The man began screaming, "Run! He's crazy! Run!" And I realized I was somehow in some mental institution, and they were going to frame me as a crazy person, and I would never be able to get out. I woke up at that point. I suppose it was sort of a sci-fi version of being in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, except I was both in it and also outside of it, observing it. I was running down the hall, but I was also watching the person running down the hall, as if I was aware I was dreaming while I was dreaming. Overall, it was an intense level of paranoia and fear and of no escape. I dreamed I was going on a date with Grace Jones. Eventually, we were supposed to collaborate on a music project, but it turned into her wanting to go on a date first. At some point, we went to where she lived, which was inside a huge gymnasium. We were on a bed which was very high up on stilts in the middle of a basketball court. She knew I'm gay, but she still kept trying to seduce me. At one point, we were making out, and I was trying to pretend I was interested because I really did want to collaborate with her artistically. She didn't actually look like Grace Jones, but it was her. At one point, her skin was light, almost white, and she took off a wig and spoke in a Spanish accent. It was as if she became transgendered into a male Hispanic person. We talked about ideas of fusing noise with reggae funk and how to perform it. I dreamed I was in some futuristic, ultra-violent version of our planet. The landscape was rural, but barren, with occasional low, very heavily guarded cement buildings. There were police everywhere and police checkpoints everywhere. It was all like a crazy war zone. I was trying to get through a checkpoint, and some sort of laser bullets were being fired all around me. People had the ability to become invisible in order to dodge the weird laser bullets, and so I became invisible at some point. It was extremely violent and bleak. I dreamed Nick Nolte was teaching me and some others hang gliding. I was learning very fast and going very high, looking out over mountains. When I came down, he was worried I would try to go too high too soon, and I had to assure him I wouldn't. This morning, I woke up to a dream where I was in a space with others, and everyone was afraid of mice and rat infestation. Indeed, there was a large rat, almost a cartoon of a rat, in the dream, but scary to everyone nonetheless, and the big rat was some entity that was almost mythological. People rarely saw it, but in this case it emerged, and it was a big rat known as Rosemary. Everyone, especially me, was scared of Rosemary and tried to force her away. She was confused, like a caged animal would be. But who was the caged animal? Everyone was scared. Rosemary wouldn't go away. I wanted to befriend her, but people kept trying to scare her into some unseen underworld, where out of sight, out of mind was the mentality. But I knew Rosemary would be back. I was scared, but I saw such a unique, great character. I wanted Rosemary to be my friend. In the back of my mind, I've wanted to do a painting about Rosemary, the herb, because I love it so much. Then, tonight, Ron made a dish with lots of rosemary, and the smell of it reminded me of this dream, which was much more complex and scary, but now, Rosemary the Rat is real for me. Rosemary the Rat is quite a symbol. Is agonizing over art and our existence really worth it? Nothing matters, everything matters. I'm Rosemary the Rat, cornered, but never giving up, until they finally poison me anyway. All my life, every moment is spent beating the poison, but they're gonna finally get to me. It's a slow death. Like Rosemary, in my underground world, everything's fine, and I'd like to tell everyone about it. But when I come up with joy, they shoot me back down to my darkness. So, as I'm going through reading these dreams for y'all today, you'll hear, I don't know what is up with it, but like, famous people appear in my dreams all the time, and a lot of times Grace Jones. I don't know why. I mean, I like Grace Jones, but like, I don't like think about her that much. But and then also, like, a lot of my dreams are really like post-apocalyptic nightmares. That's you know, most of my nights. But I've learned to just live with it somehow. Anyway, here's another one. I dreamed I was assisting some famous photographer by pinning up a huge image of Grace Jones. Her head was a 2D image on the wall, and I had to pin a huge piece of 3D fabric, like a giant gown, around the head in some arrangement that looked good. I think the photographer wasn't really a photographer, but was Kurt Vonnegut, sitting in another room, not very interested in the shoot. I became more of the boss and said, "Mr. Vonnegut, if you want to get this shot done, you better come do it now, because in a few minutes you won't have an assistant to help you." At some point, I went into another room, where I was suddenly in a huge mansion, estate, kind of place, with Grace Jones and her female lover making out on a couch. They were speaking French to each other. The lover was a white girl with a shower cap type hat made out of a giant flower petals. Some gay guy, Adonis type, with bleached hair, arrived with a drink he called a pine cone. We were all in a field outside the mansion, and he was asking everyone, there were various other people lurking about everywhere, if they wanted a pine cone, which tasted minty and was very potent. I tried a couple sips of his and got very high. Then he told me the secret ingredient was heroin. Grace Jones and her girlfriend were playing with two horses. Then the pinecone guy came racing by on another horse. Then he went into this weird, scary seduction with me, so I went over to Grace to get away from him, and she was whipping the horses quite violently. I told her girlfriend that was way too harsh on the horses, and she said, oh no, they like it, and began trying to whip me with a riding crop, and it was all too druggy and S&M-y, and I wanted to get out of there. So this is kind of interesting, 'cause I had this dream apparently like a couple of decades ago. These dreams are not in any special order that I'm reading to you guys. I'm just kind of randomly flipping through some books, and this one's about China. I dreamed the Chinese government decided to burn all of China and kill everyone there. Huge blazing flames engulfed the entire country, and thousands of people were screaming in total agony with no way to escape this horrific death, and there was no way to stop it. So I just watched people frying in huge flames. Then, in today's paper, when I woke up, one of the first things I see is this, and then I cut out and taped this newspaper clipping to this page of writing. And the headline of the clipping is, over 250 are lost after Chinese ferry burns in stormy sea. And then it says, in the dream, it was revealed to me that the way they made the huge fire all at once was by dumping gasoline or some such substance by helicopters and planes all over the country and lighting it all at once. I dreamed I was riding in a car with Christopher Walken, and we were being chased. We were in some big old sort of tank mobile, and we came to the end of the road where there was a lake. Walken floored it into the water, to my shock, and we began to float like a boat across to the other side. Then we were walking down a trail in woods that was like a tunnel covered in vines. There was a lot of conversation I don't remember. It was all quite thrilling. I dreamed I was having a dream and that I woke up and I was in the dream. Then I actually woke up and realized it was a dream. I dreamed I was in my old neighborhood and I had to get somewhere by going through or near Forman Field. Forman Field was like a football stadium where sometimes there was concerts when I was growing up as a kid. It was dusk, and as I approached, there were masses of people everywhere, inside and all around the stadium. It turned out there was a Queen concert there. I could look around a corner and see Freddie Mercury's head on a big, huge video screen above the stage, beginning the first song. Within seconds, there was a huge riot and people everywhere were going nuts. Complete chaotic pandemonium. I thought, wow, all this for a guy who must be a Freddie Mercury impersonator because Freddie's dead. Unless he somehow came back to life, then I could see people going that nuts. A guy fell about 20 feet right in front of me and landed on his back. It was like people were falling out of the sky, running and screaming everywhere. Somehow I got around it all, and I came back to it hours later. I discovered stacks of trays around the stadium, and I somehow decided to take a tray to the top of the seats and go over the side and stand on the tray high up in the air and balance myself and somehow sort of magically float down by kind of skimboarding against the wind, against gravity. It was so much fun, I couldn't believe it. I wanted to show people. So I was showing someone, and a female authority figure came and gave us mean looks like we were doing something wrong, and she said we had to stop. We waited for her to go away, and then we did it some more. Later, we were sitting in a tree nearby where some boring family-type event was going on inside a house I didn't recognize. In the tree, we were trying on sunglasses, deciding which ones we liked the most. I liked a pair of old black plastic round ones from the 20s or 30s, and I came down from the tree to look in a mirror to see how they looked. I decided they'd be good with green mirror lenses. I dreamed I was coming out of a church service. Perhaps it was the church from my childhood. And I needed a ride somewhere, and someone invited me in their car. We went to a motel-type place where there was a group of about 7 people traveling together, one of which seemed really weird, really unstable. Sure enough, this guy freaked out and started stabbing people with a huge kitchen knife and a meat cleaver. Blood was everywhere. I kept narrowly escaping him, but witnessing others getting stabbed and cut up brutally. I would run to another room where people weren't even aware it was going on, and soon enough, there he'd be. Finally, I seemed to be the only one left, and he snuck up on me. He was looking at me weird, and he said, "Didn't you feel it?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "I just tried to cut your head off." And I felt the back of my neck, where there was only a slight cut. He decided to give up on me, and he wandered off. I ran out to get help, and no one would stop and listen to me. Finally, my friend Peter Quinn came by on a bike, and I stopped him and tried to tell him I'd just narrowly escaped the most horrible, bloody thing I've ever seen, and I showed him the cut on my neck, and he barely reacted. No one would ever believe me. Later, I was in another hotel-type place, and there was hardly anyone in it. I came upon 2 girls who said they were hiding because there was a mass murderer loose in the hotel. Then a guy with a gun, some type of rifle, came up and sort of pushed us along into a room while he shot at someone he said was the killer, and we'd better hide with him, as if he was some sort of government agent there to kill the killer. He would periodically go out and shoot and come back. Finally, we figured out that he was actually the killer, and we escaped to another room. Then I saw him on a floor below us, beneath our balcony, and he knew we knew, and he started shooting at me, and I dodged the bullets. I dreamed I was with my father, and we were going to bury our dead dog at a pet cemetery. We came upon what we thought was the pet cemetery. We were having a hard time finding it. And we went inside a house there to find out the procedure, costs, etc. A group of people were having dinner in the dining room, and an elderly woman, who seemed to be the owner caretaker, pointed us to go through the kitchen. We came out into a dark yard. It was night, where we could presumably pick a spot to dig and bury. We had a shovel with us. While my father was digging, I looked around because I had a feeling something wasn't right. Sure enough, I eventually found out we had the wrong place. It wasn't a pet cemetery, but just an object cemetery where people buried old material objects. But by the time I found out and went back to tell my dad, he'd finished burying the dog, and so we decided to just leave it there anyway. I dreamed I was with a bunch of people in some woods near a beach. We were running from a giant black ant. We found a huge fishing net, which we unraveled and began tying corners of it to trees in hopes of entangling the ant in it. I got in an argument with some man about how he was tying a rope around a tree. It seemed to me he hadn't tied it tight enough or with a good enough knot and was going to come undone before the ant even got there. I woke up this morning to the sound of Karen banging pots around in the kitchen. Finally, I dozed back off, and I dreamed I woke up and was amazed to find she had done all the dishes and the dish rack was full of sparkling, glistening glasses. I thought, I wonder how she had time to do these, because I only heard her banging pots and pans around for a few seconds. Later, I woke up again and went into the kitchen, subconsciously expecting to find glistening glasses, but instead there was only a sink full of dirty plates and pots and pans. I dreamed I was in a bleak, post-apocalyptic urban setting, among a mixture of bombed-out, decaying buildings and shiny, newly built futuristic structures, big old American cars like you see in Cuba, and new, ultra-modern, sleek vehicles that could fly. Tons of people were everywhere, and many of them seemed very ill and very poor. It felt like a mixture of the movies Soylent Green and Escape from New York. I was looking for food. It was night. Then I was in a fast food McDonald's type of place with Lewis Carroll. We were deciding what to get. Nothing looked familiar or edible. I was scared to eat any of it, but something looked like French fries. David Bowie appeared, dressed in a silver outer space suit, and he asked if he could take our order. There was a picture on the menu of something that looked like a green blob of mush, perhaps Soylent Green? Lewis Carroll asked Bowie what was in the green blob. I asked for water, and there was no water. Later, I was walking through the burnt rubble and decay with Lewis Carroll, and we were hoping to find some water or a bar, when we suddenly came upon a complete croquet set. I dreamed I was shooting up heroin with Jim Carrey. For some reason, he liked to mix the heroin with salsa, and so I had an old plastic film vial, and we put the heroin and salsa in there, and I shook it up to mix it, and then he got it in a syringe and shot up. He handed me the needle, but then I thought, I don't really want to share a needle. I don't care who he is. And also, I didn't really want to shoot up heroin and salsa. And then I woke up. I had two dreams that sort of morphed together, taking place in a grocery store. First, I was at a counter of what seemed like a deli butcher area, and I had a small, square, open cardboard container of some green peppers, semi-hot peppers, perhaps they were poblano, which I put on the counter while I was looking at ground beef to get for hamburgers. The guy behind the counter asked if I wanted him to check the peppers to see if they were out of date. I thought the peppers looked fine, and a customer behind me said, "Yeah, those don't look so fresh." Then, while I was looking in a glass case to order ground meat, the peppers seemed to change from green to grayish, and the worker cut one open, and it was all rotten inside. I wasn't sure if I wanted any products from that store, and I think at that point I must have woke up for a second. Then I went back to sleep, and I was in another part of the grocery store, and there was music playing, and I turned around, and there was Marguerite Van Cook, a good friend from my East Village days, except she looked like someone I know here in Athens, but her face looked very bloated, and she had on sweatpants and some baggy jacket, and she had a wireless microphone, and she was going around the store singing karaoke while sort of half drunk. It didn't sound too bad, maybe even actually good, but because of her appearance, people were staying away from her. I caught her eye, and she remembered me, and we hugged, and I encouraged her singing. I think there was more, but I can't remember it now. In another dream, a few days before that one, I was walking down a street in the remnants of what had been some sort of street festival, and I came upon my friend Karen Mantler, who was sitting in a booth with Tom Waits. Apparently they had begun dating, and they were doing a song booth where people could pay a few bucks and request a song, and they would sing it. It was really cute, and when Tom Waits realized me and Karen were friends, he became very friendly, and we hit it off. There was great conversation I can't recall now. I think we all left their booth and went off to find a bar where it morphed into another dream. Okay, this one's a little bit longer, but try to bear with me if you're still with me. Another post-apocalyptic one. I dreamed I was in a post-apocalyptic urban setting, a burned-out ghetto of ruins and debris everywhere, and a feeling of desperate survival and no trust. Yet it was also accepted as being the way it is, and people mostly kept to themselves on the streets, yet with wary eyes. It was sort of like the environment of Escape from New York. And there was also some government or power in control that was keeping people oppressed in desperate poverty. Somehow I got involved with a militant group of mostly black and Hispanic anarchists who took over what was left of a main big building that had some kind of offices, headquarters of the evil government powers. The mission was to plant massive amounts of explosives everywhere possible after sealing up the building with everyone inside, and guards all around outside to kill anyone who tried to escape the building, including us, the bombers. It was a total suicide mission. You had to be totally committed once you were in there, no turning back. There were high brick walls with rows of fuses hanging off them, waiting to be lit. There were explosives planted everywhere. It was maybe a 6 to 8 story big brick office building. I began to change my mind. I realized that the whole mission was about dogma and belief systems, and the whole reason the world had been destroyed was because of dogmas and belief systems. And this was just another version of it, which was not going to really make anyone free or better off, as the people would just end up being under control of this new regime of militant anarchists. The leaders of our group were very strict and mean. I found another guy who was doubting the mission, and we decided to try and escape the building. We were up high on the roof, and we had to somehow get down to the ground floor and find an opening out. All of the explosives were planted and set, and so we didn't have much time before we would be dead, or we had to escape. Guys were all throughout the building at stations, waiting to be given the word to detonate and also to keep anyone from escaping. Anyone seen roaming around, like us, was to be considered suspicious, a possible traitor, and killed. Everyone had guns. So it was extremely tricky for us to get out of there. Everyone else was fully committed to the mission. My friend's name was Joe. I think he was Hispanic. He found some sort of shaftway, vertical, square airspace, like a small version of an elevator shaft, and he found a big flat metal sheet that was slightly larger than the space, and he said, "Watch this," and he set the metal sheet over the square hole and then stood on it and proceeded to zoom down the air shaft. All in split seconds, multiple things began to happen. His escape was noisy, so our comrades became aware something was happening and people were leaving their posts and running around. This enabled me to run down some stairs and get down to a ground floor space. Meanwhile, Joe had safely made it down to a ground floor space and landed in some office area, startling people there, jumping out a windowless window frame, and successfully running away into the ghetto darkness. I saw all of this as if I was watching a movie of it, while I was also elsewhere in the dream, still trying to escape myself. Joe's escape seemed to also cast a new air of uncertainty among our comrades. I could tell maybe some others were beginning to question the suicide mission. It seemed like the detonation was on hold. I had to figure out how to get over or around a high brick wall, then to a room on a corner of the ground floor with no doors or windows, where I knew a lot of our guards were standing armed outside, but it was my only chance. I began talking to a guy at the brick wall about dogmas and belief systems and how screwed up they all are. He began to agree with me. He showed me a way over the brick wall, but it was a long jump on the other side. I decided to go for it. It seemed like there was a lot of commotion and distraction going on among the ranks, and I had to seize the moment. I got up on the ledge of the wall, jumped, landed, and bolted fast as hell out the corner room, past some guards on the street in a parked car, and I just kept running as fast as possible, zigzagging through the blocks until it seemed like I was safely disappeared into the ghetto landscape. I had dreads and a beard, and I got some scissors and cut all that off because I knew they would still be looking for me. At a certain point, several blocks away, I heard the massive explosions of the building blowing up, and I thought of all the people inside who gave their lives, and I looked around at the ruins and decay and thought about what a waste it all was and how all of the dogmas and belief systems were still causing so much chaos. I desperately needed to find a place to hide. Okay, let's see. Okay, well, this is another pretty heavy post-apocalyptic one. I dreamed I was in some sort of post-apocalyptic world at some sort of retreat beach resort place, where a small group of people had all arrived seeking refuge. The whole dream was very fuzzy and vague as to whether I was there or whether I was watching it like it was a movie. Like, I was simultaneously in the dream movie, but I was also outside of it observing it. The group was all ages, different types of people, maybe 15 to 18 people who had come there somehow seeking survival. We were outdoors in a safe area, and there were constant sounds of guns, bombs, war, killing in the distance, as if danger and death was always lurking nearby. There was some sort of small building where we were each instructed to go in alone, and the others waited outside for their turn. We all assumed it was through this building that we were led to some secret sanctuary place. Oh, and everyone had on red clothes, some more tattered than others, as if at that point in the future, everyone had to wear some government-issued uniform. Some younger people in the group, sort of like hipsters, had modified their clothes. An older man was wearing black, as if he had somehow discarded his uniform and declared freedom. One by one, people went in the room and did not return. At one point, there was a scene or a shot of the room, as if I was seeing it in a movie, and it was like the interior or office in some rustic wooden country lodge type place. There was a shot that panned the room and showed a picture over a desk of an old map with a lake, and it said Secret Lake. So what was happening in the room was that when people went in, they were given instructions how to kill the other people. So it wasn't a sanctuary at all. It was a trick to lure people to kill each other and or kill themselves. Suicide was the option if you did not agree to killing others. There were some scenes in the dream that were very violent, where I observed a person stabbing another person with a sharpened wooden stick like a stake. All the while, non-stop sounds of war and bombs in the distance. At some point, I was the only one remaining or watching the movie as an observer, I'm not sure. And I could see the dead people in the group on a mound in the back of the building. It was horrific. Except I realized one person, one of the older men who had been quiet and who seemed sort of suave and sophisticated. And then I saw there was a shot of it in the movie inside the room and over the desk. The map of the secret lake was gone, and another drawing was in its place, and I realized the man had taken the map and escaped. And I realized I had to find him, or perhaps the movie slash dream ended at that point. I'm not sure. I dreamed I started writing this down to catch up on everything, and I was immediately interrupted and had to stop writing. I dreamed I was somewhere on the outskirts of Norfolk, sometime in the future, in some post-apocalyptic bleak world. I was trying to get from these outer wastelands around highways and to some other place across downtown. I was walking. I went under the highways and came to some sort of industrial area with lots of old abandoned warehouses and buildings and mazes of roads, both on the ground and as highways above. People were speeding around in huge old cars like giant Cadillacs and station wagons from the 50s that were all modified like Mad Max versions. I was trying to cross a street, and one of the cars sped in front of me and just crashed head-on, full speed, into a building, seemingly killing the driver. Then I heard other crashes. These cars were speeding all over in this dark industrial world. It was nearly impossible to navigate it as a pedestrian. Very scary. There appeared to be no rules. Then more crashes. Then I realized these people were killing themselves on purpose. They were all so hopeless that they were just crashing themselves to death. Then I heard some sirens and I woke up. The siren sounds were actually our friend's dog howling in the early morning. So then I recorded the dog howling. I dreamed I was in a tropical island setting. It seemed like it might have been Haiti. I was at an encampment in a jungle at the end of a long dirt road. I was with several other people there, outdoors, but under a covered roof. Some people were getting sick with a virus that was killing people and possibly making them into zombies. We weren't sure. There was a young doctor who was also a scientist, and she was working on a vaccine cure. I still seemed to be okay, along with one other person, and so we decided to take a car out to a main road and see if we could find out what was going on and get more supplies. When we turned off of our dirt road onto the main road, we saw abandoned cars and the road was flooded, possibly too badly to get through. We sensed chaos all around. Before we could turn around, a car came full speed through the flooded road, spraying water and then crashing head-on full speed into an abandoned car 10 feet next to us. The force was so extreme, both cars went crashing through trees for about 50 yards before blowing up into bits like bombs and suddenly sending shards of metal flying everywhere towards us like shrapnel, which we had to carefully try and get behind trees to dodge. We knew we had to get back to the encampment. It was like a zombie apocalypse. Then, killer drone military aircraft appeared overhead, and floating along beneath them were long, skinny missiles, dozens and dozens of them. The missiles looked like giant 15-foot-long toothpicks. The missiles were approximately 30 feet over our heads. We thought they might be going out to sea. The ocean was not far from where we were. But then we realized that maybe the government was just going to kill and eradicate everything as their solution to stopping the virus. I dreamed I was hanging out with Tom Smith of To Live and Shave in LA in an apartment, possibly in Florida. It was before a show, and he had invited me to play with the band. He was telling me how cops had raided his apartment recently and confiscated some bongs and some weed, but they let him out to do a scheduled tour. He was showing me a collection of bongs that they had destroyed, but he had one that still worked, and he was doing bong hits while telling me the story. At some point, I went down a hallway to find the bathroom, which had cloth tacked to the doorway for a door and looked more like it was a closet. While in there, I heard doors and footsteps and commotion of more people. Undercover cops were once again raiding the apartment and busting Tom. I stayed in the bathroom hoping to stay free so I could tell the band and everyone what happened and get him back out again. While the raid was going on, I woke up. I went back to sleep, and then, many dreams later, I had a subsequent dream where Tom Smith had been released from prison and he was giving a talk about anti-war and how the U.S. government was illegally perpetuating needless wars instead of peace. He was talking about how even the old-timers down south, old veterans, were fed up with it, and he was connecting these wars with the prison system and incarceration. Then the talk was raided, and he was busted again. I was at another apartment after that with lots of friends of To Live and Shave in LA and some black dudes with dreads who were ex-cons. They were giving me Tom's contact info and getting me to help organize to free Tom Smith and pass out his contact info to supporters. I dreamed I was roaming the streets, possibly homeless, in some city somewhere. Somehow I came across Oprah, who took me in and brought me to a modest-sized room where there was a large, wide counter on one side of the room, covered in multiple rows of various-sized, handmade boats and ships constructed out of paper, cardboard, string, tape, glue, and each one drawn or painted on to give it details and 3D effects. It was very folk artsy, and I wondered if it was some sort of folk art collection that Oprah had. And then an assistant in the room said that Oprah made them. I was stunned and looked at Oprah, who smiled and acknowledged she did make them. I asked her if she would be willing to trade for one of my paintings, and she agreed, and I thought I might have ended up with the more valuable side of the deal once people discover that Oprah makes boats. I dreamed I was with my friend Felix, my painter friend from East Village days, and she had recently been released from some sort of institution, and we decided to get a place to live and paint together like we used to. We were in a building where we were told we could get an apartment studio, and we were looking around for number 3 on a door, and we could not find it. Soon we were lost in a maze in the building, and it became more and more sterile and institutional looking. Suddenly, we realized they had trapped us into another institution, and we started trying to find our way out. But guards in white hospital-type clothing started appearing out of nowhere, and we seemed to be trapped. Then I woke up. I dreamed I was somehow assigned to live in and be the proprietor of a huge, pristine, minimalist art gallery that was in a place that seemed like sort of like Soho in the 80s, except the time was now or in the future. There was a series of giant rooms with 25 to 30 foot ceilings, and there would be nothing in a room or one small hard edge minimalist painting. It was excruciatingly boring, and no one ever came there. One night, it was open at night, I was in one of the back rooms looking at a painting, trying to find something good or redeeming in it, and I heard a noise, so I went out to the front and encountered a small older man with glasses holding a box of pasta. I was so happy to see a person, and I tried to engage him, but he quickly became bored with the place and said he was going to go make dinner and asked me if I wanted to go. But first he had to go help a friend. If I left, it meant the end of my job, but I decided to leave and go with him. He explained we were going to see a gigantic shrimp and somehow rescue a person who worked at the aquarium where the shrimp lived. Soon we came upon the shrimp, which was coming up from underground and onto a street. It was enormous, like 50 feet long and 20 feet tall, bigger than a giant whale. It was a real live creature, but it also seemed to be part mechanical, with an engineering booth inside of it, where a man could operate it. At one point, I was riding the shrimp, which moved slowly and seemed friendly. I was also trying to rescue the man inside the shrimp. We were trying to get the shrimp to a position of rest so the man could jump out and escape. But there was a constant fear that the shrimp would go crazy and begin crushing things and people. It quickly went from being fun and exciting to being completely life-threatening and terrifying. I was wondering what would happen and if I should have ever left the gallery. When the moment came, I could see for the man to jump from the shrimp and I would help him to safety, while perhaps the shrimp would go haywire, but we had to risk it. Lately, I've had several dreams with beans in them. Baked beans, cooked beans, plates of beans, but I can't remember the context. Recently, Rob Catherman, formerly of the M80s, emailed me to ask if I'd do artwork for a single he's putting out on Black Lung Records with his band Big Bobby and the Nightcaps. I agreed, and we've had some emails lately. And then, last night, I dreamed I was visiting Rob in some rural wooded area where he had a bunch of different shack-like outbuildings and tree houses. He doesn't in reality, but he does have a shed, and he does a party event every year called Shed Rock, with bands playing in the shed. I was there to take pictures and get ideas for my artwork. There were several mutt-like dogs roaming around and various white trash folks hanging out. Rob's band was going to jam later, but first he was showing me around the property. All of a sudden, one of the shacks caught fire, and then another. No one seemed too upset, and the fires began dying down. Dogs were running all around, and then, coming in from the sky in slow motion, as if it were a helicopter landing, there were two guys in a burning white van. They were sort of hanging out of the doors, ready to jump out. They were in the band. Everyone cheered and laughed, and no one seemed worried about anyone getting hurt. I took pictures of the burning van landing. I also took pictures of the previous fires. And then Rob's band started playing some loud garage punk stuff on some equipment they had set up outside in the woods while a treehouse burned behind them. It was a wild, fun dream. Everyone was carefree to the point of lots of potential harm and damage, but that seemed to be the point, as long as you could still play music and have a party. I dreamed I was in some brutal, futuristic, Terminator-like world where reality looked digital. There were weird, molten metal creatures that were like police and criminals all in one, and they could appear anywhere and physically harass people. Everywhere was severely overcrowded. I was with Ron, and we were trying to get a bus to go see a movie at a theater. People were being beaten by the metal creatures all around us. We got to the theater, which was also overcrowded. The movie looked the same as all the horrible real life outside. All of reality was blurred into a digital nightmare full of violence. I dreamed I was trying to get a DJ gig in a department store. A friend knew someone who worked there in the men's clothing department and told me to go see him. He turned out to be a very old Frank Sinatra, thin and frail, and possibly with AIDS. He was very stern and adverse to the DJ idea, so I had to really try and win him over. Finally, he told me to go write on a glass partition why I should be allowed to DJ, and I painted with gold leaf enamel and beautiful script, "There will be music of utmost quality and sophistication," trying to think of what might appeal to him given his fancy dress and demeanor. Later, he saw the phrase and mumbled as he was walking away, "You can start on Friday." Then he was leaving, and he invited me to go with him to some country estate retreat place. He seemed very lonely and sick, and I felt sorry for him, so I agreed to go. We were driving in a small car at night down steep, icy roads. I think I was driving, struggling not to lose control on the ice. Suddenly, we got to a flat part in a tunnel with a barricade, and I was relieved we made it through the dangerous icy section. Then, all of a sudden, a huge lion-like creature, bigger than a lion, and all white but dirty, like an albino creature with big matted mane and fur on its head, and a very monstrous-looking, evil, angry face appeared. Like it was some troll creature we had to get by in order to continue through the tunnel. It was like some horrible genetic modification of a creature that went very wrong, horribly distorted face, and clearly in misery from its own existence. All of a sudden, the body of the car disappeared, and me and Frank Sinatra were totally exposed, with no protection from the genetically modified beast, and in a split second, it lunged at me to kill me, and right at the second it would have bitten my face off, I woke up. This one really speaks to how often I have dreams where I'm both in the dream and it's as if I'm awake observing the dream, or the dream is a movie and I'm watching the movie, and it all gets really blurred together. I have that sensation a lot in my dreams. I dreamed there was a guy in prison. It seemed to be in another time and possibly in France. Also, it was as if I was watching the whole dream, as if it was a film noir movie. It was possibly all in black and white. It revolved around a particular guy who was in the prison, who I was watching, but who also may have been me, I'm not sure. The guy was young, maybe 30, slim and fit from likely having various hard blue-collar jobs. In the prison, he was determined to escape. He noticed an ice machine, the kind with big doors that you open and scoop out ice, a big industrial-sized one, and he noticed there was a chute coming down into it that went up into a ceiling roof. And so, one day, at just the right moment, When no one was looking, he was able to get inside the ice machine and go up into the roof and come out somewhere outside the prison walls and fences, where he was suddenly in a bustling city with cobblestone streets. Quickly, he mixed in with the crowds, and once he was a safe distance from the prison, he ran like hell to get deeper into the city. At this point, it was like I was following the story like it was a movie, but I was also a character in the movie, trying to follow the prisoner because I seemed to be in love with him, but also it was as if I was him. It was very blurred as to who I was and where my vantage point was in the dream. I followed after, or the camera followed after, the prisoner as he roamed the streets. It began to feel like it was possibly New York City in the 19th century or early 20th century. The prisoner seemed to be looking for a place or people he knew for refuge. He went deep into the underbelly of the city on back streets and alleys where there were lots of shady characters and dive bars. Eventually, he stumbled into the back door of a bar. It was now as if he had committed some sort of crime and was also drunk and was now on the run in deeper trouble. He passed by down and out barflies sitting at the dark bar, and it was as if someone recognized him and ratted on him, and suddenly he was being arrested. In all of this time, it was also as if I was chasing him, in love with him, and wanting to help him and keep him out of trouble, but by the time I found him at the bar, I could only stand by watching as he was arrested and carried off to prison. He was sent to some bigger prison known as La Rochelle. So it was as if we were all, me, the viewers, and everyone in the dream, in Paris again. There were scenes of him in the dark, horrible prison, views down long corridors like scenes from a movie, and the dream ended, or I woke up as if I had not been in the dream, but had been watching a movie. I was gently awakened by a fly. He was drawn to my flesh in the morning and touched me like a lover who was aroused with affection. The soft touches of the fly made me adore him in a way I never have before. I was deep in a dream, and the fly said, "It's time now. The new day is here. We have things to do, and I love you."